This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Ooh, people are already texting in about this conversation we're about to have as to essentially it's Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott. 877-881-1053. The question is, you get the opportunity to purge Ezekiel Elliott's contract or not that kind of purge.
Show's pretty good.
Or Dak Prescott never gets his money from the Cowboys. Which option are you taking? 877-881-1053. In addition to that, keep an eye on 1053thefan.com. There will be all sorts of breaking news on the website there. You can go hit the radio.com app. You can rewind any feature you want to there. And you're going to get breaking news throughout the day, Kevin, as there is NBA trade deadline. We are merely 2 hours away from the NBA trade deadline. The G-Bag Nation will have all the post-trade deadline analysis. We will lead you up to everything that breaks leading up to that moment. So anything that comes down, we will have some information for you. Kevin, you presented this question, and I think that, you know what, I'm going to put it out on Twitter right now. I'm going to go ahead and tweet this out.
Okay.
Because I want to see what the poll question answer gets. And it's going to be at In the Majors on Twitter. You get the option of one. And the first option is purge Zeke's contract. And that means it's gone. The option two, Dak doesn't get paid.
Yeah, and I wanted to throw out there...
by Cowboys.
He gets like the mega deal. We could say 5 for $175 with $110 million guaranteed. And I know people are like, he'll never get that. Yes, that is absolutely probably somewhere near the parameters that they're working on. So that's what I was curious about, because I would think you would purge the Zeke deal, but so many people are like, you can't pay Dak, you can't pay Dak. I wanted to see if they would really put their money where their mouth is or not put their money where their mouth is, and they're like, no, I will not pay Dak. I'll keep rolling with Zeke, and we'll find a new quarterback.
All right. At In the Majors on Twitter, Kevin, it is available right now.
All right.
So go vote on the poll, and you can text in 877-881-1053, but the poll question is up. I want to see where this thing goes, because we've had the conversation. Oh, Amari or Byron. Amari or Quinn, Dak or Amari, you know, we've had all these conversations. And Kevin, going into the end of the season last year, I think that everybody was just kind of resigned to the fact that this team had already earmarked money for Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and other things later down the road. But those two guys were essential to what Jerry Jones wants to build, right? Like nobody thought anything different than that. Well, Zeke's money's already spent. That's already there. But I think there are a lot of fans that feel like there's buyer's remorse with Zeke's contract.
Yes.
Because you did not get the production out of that team last year. Because you did not get... because it was losing season, right? If they go and win this year and you still get the same production out of him, Kevin, is that going to feel different to you? If you get the same yards and similar touchdowns...
I think...
and they win, are you going to feel different?
I don't think so, because I think you can still look at it and say, well, what else could we have done with that? Oh, well,
guys,
let's go over to Shippy real quick for some breaking basketball news. Corey just told you like 5 seconds ago it could be big, and we got something.
Yeah, and breaking news on 105.3 The Fan is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. From Woj, Golden State has agreed to trade D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota for a deal that includes Andrew Wiggins, a 2021 protected first-round pick, and a 2022 second-round pick. League sources tell ESPN Warriors will send Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman to the Timberwolves, too.
So Golden State did not get the two first-round picks that supposedly they were angling for, but they do get a first-round pick in 2021 and then a second-round pick after that, and they will take on Andrew Wiggins after all. I know for a lot of Mavericks fans, that is probably a sigh of relief because, you know, there were rumors that facilitate this trade that the Warriors are like, look, man, we want the draft capital. We don't want Andrew Wiggins, and then they would try to slide him off on a team like the Mavs, who could facilitate it monetarily and probably not take on anything. And so I'm sure a lot of Mavs fans are relieved about this, and it's an interesting next step for Golden State.
I think the Mavs fans' collective fan base is, at the moment, breathing a huge sigh of relief that Kevin was trying to push on it to everybody. Andrew Wiggins thing. So there you go.
What if the Warriors turn and just flip Wiggins to the Mavs?
Oh, my God. What are you doing, Chippy?
I'm just saying it could happen.
That thought had crossed my mind.
Why?
But
they just made a trade for Willie Cauley-Stein together. They clearly have each other's phone number.
And I get the distinct feeling the Warriors might value Andrew Wiggins about the same as they do Willie Cauley-Stein, which is really weird. Like, what a precipitous drop it is for him. But think about this. Now, going into next season, like, Golden State is still on track to get, you know, first, second pick. I know they kind of re-racked how the draft lottery works and all of that. But you're looking at a situation where you could go into the next season with, let's just say, Steph Curry healthy, Klay Thompson healthy, Draymond Green healthy, Andrew Wiggins maybe motivated, and then, you know, if you want to take Wiseman, the big out of Memphis who just quit school because he was like, come on, what are we doing? If you want to take Edwards, the guard out of Georgia, or if you wanted to make a run at LaMelo Ball, which seems to be essentially a consensus top five pick at this point, but you could have a top-notch pick for the Warriors to go along with Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Yeah, let's do it right now. Let's get all those players on the Mavs team.
No,
Kevin.
No, they are not going to the Mavs. They're all on the Warriors.
Can we trade Andrew Wiggins with Luka in this scenario that you're throwing out?
Playing
with Klay Thompson and Seth Curry and Draymond Green.
For the record, if I could get all five of those players, I would trade Luka.
All you got to do is, basically Jalen Brunson and what? All right, we got to go back to the original topic here. We got off base here. And I know
for breaking news.
Yeah, it was breaking news, which we told you we would deliver to you. But right now, Kevin, the votes are just pouring in, and you can go check them out at In the Majors.
Oh yeah, how are we looking?
This is a dream scenario question for that Kevin has presented, and it is a runaway right now.
It's got to be dump Zeke, right?
Purge the Zeke contract, or Dak doesn't get paid. And because I know what you're angling at here, so many people have told us on the fan text that they don't think Dak's worth it.
Yeah.
But because of the money spent on the running back that they didn't get the production, you see there is an 80% of people say that they would purge the Zeke contract. 20% say that Dak doesn't get paid. And we'll observe this over the rest of the day too, but there's a poll question, add in the majors on Twitter. What I'm interested in though is, Because you saw what Tony Pollard did this year, I think that makes it a little bit easier with people saying that they would move on from Zeke because Tony Pollard was damn good this year. And at the moment, you don't have a quarterback that can back up or be Dak Prescott. So and so that's what I think that this is based a lot on, is that, you know, you've had Choppy and Jeff pushing, and you've been pushing that running back is not as valuable as some people think. Although, if you have the right running back, he can be. Because Tony Pollard's a receiver, too. Like, I really do think you could turn Tony Pollard, after what we saw this year, I think you could turn him into a McCaffrey-style player. That he can be that guy. I like the combination of being able to go thunder and lightning with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, but I feel like a lot of people are saying, yeah, let's move on from Zeke because we got the replacement already ready to go.
For the 817, why is it just Dak or Zeke? I'll purge DeMarcus Lawrence's contract. What if you subbed out Zeke's contract for DeMarcus Lawrence's contract?
Man, that's a problem. That's the problem, is a lot of people don't know what you got until it's gone, right? Like
the grass is always greener on the other side.
Absolutely it is, Shippy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, just the disrespect put on DeMarcus Lawrence's name, the disrespect put on some of the guys that
That's
we have.
Why I don't call him his nickname
anymore.
And
these guys.
He hasn't earned it.
It's just disrespectful to see how much we don't appreciate. Do you guys remember the Clint Sterner days? Do you remember the Ebenezer Ecubon trials, Kevin?
Yes.
The Shantae Carvers.
I love Troy Hambrick.
Do you remember Troy Hambrick?
I do.
I liked him.
Sherman Williams.
Julius Jones.
Hey, Julius Jones was good for a second.
I mean, how many 1,000-yard rushing years did he have?
Maybe one.
Zeke has just given you 1,000 yards on top of 1,000 yards.
Because he doesn't have Marion Barber.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
So that's where I...
But he's diminishing. For everyone who's like, oh, Zeke's production is still there, but he's diminishing, and you paid him when he was already diminishing. That's a poor decision. That's like basic fundamentals. I'm not going to give you a raise when you're getting worse at your job. And if you don't think Zeke is getting worse at his job, I don't know what to tell you. Like, be like Sean and RJ and Corey and watch more football.
Somebody said, does that mean Zeke the player is gone or just his contract?
No, well, the player
is
gone,
too. So you lose Zeke, and now you're going...
Yes, you don't just get to have him play for free.
Hey, I'm just responding to Twitter here, Kevin, because people have questions.
No, he's also gone. Because if you could just pick one player to play for free, your answer would be what?
The quarterback.
Exactly. Always the quarterback, because he's going to make the most amount of money.
It's going to be too much money, yeah.
If Dak played for free next year, could we win the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. I don't know. It depends on who you add in the offseason. Like, you have all the money to spend now.
That's true.
But you know, you have to make sure you get the right guys in the room, the right kind of guy, you know, just like Garrett always talked about. You got to get the best playmakers on the team. And I still think that at the moment, I still think that no matter who you add to this team, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are too difficult to deal with. That's just how I feel about this. So, Kevin, I want, and what I think you haven't seen on the fan text is what you typically see. Today, I'm not seeing it, and I don't know why. Well, there it is. Dak is getting worse in win productivity. But in the fan text today, it has been clearly move on from Zeke's contract because he's overpaid, and we didn't get the production last year. But they're willing to eat the contract of Dak Prescott in order to provide the transition from Ezekiel Elliott. But typically what we see on the fan text is Dak Prescott's terrible. Dak Prescott's not worth $25, $30, $35 million. That's not atypical as to what we typically see on the fan text.
Corey, I have another NBA trade for you. And it involves the Golden State Warriors former player Jordan Bell. Who is no longer on the team. Jordan Bell, now of the Rockets, has been shipped off to, did we say Memphis? Is that what's happening here?
Yes.
All right.
Jordan Bell to Memphis for Bruno
Caboclo. Yep.
You know?
Yes, I do.
English is my first language.
I do know.
The team's also exchanged second-round picks in this trade. So there you go.
Yeah.
Kevin, lots of trade things happening right now. The one that just broke a few minutes ago, D'Angelo Russell of Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins. And
a protected first-round
pick and a 2022 second-round pick there. Also, I wanted to throw this out, Kevin. Matt Miller tweeted to Pat Mahomes and said, I just want to know how bad the hangover is today. And Pat Mahomes replied back, I went to Texas Tech, prepared me for these moments. Because that's what – Texas Tech's a party school, baby.
Oh, there. Man. If you've never been to Lubbock
– What's there to do?
Well, I'll tell you what there is to do. I had several friends who went to Texas Tech.
Drink around the fireplace.
But you know what was really the big thing? When they finally opened their drive-through alcohol place, they're like, you got to go out to the Strip. And then you went out there, and it was this one place where you could get alcohol while staying in your car. And they acted like it was the most revolutionary thing that had ever happened. And then we left, and I was like, so what else is there? And they're like, that was it. And so then we went back to the dorms. So, like, he's not wrong about that. Maybe it's changed in the last 10 years, but I'm just saying. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, this should be interesting. A principal called Kobe Bryant's death karma. Are you okay with the repercussions that people suffer from saying things like that or other inflammatory things? Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Is there something a brewing right now with the Dallas Mavericks during this trade deadline, Kevin?
Oh, my God.
Brad Townsend reporting. And Brad Townsend's one of the goods, by the way, over at the Dallas Morning News.
Oh.
You see this?
I see this.
Kevin, the Mavs are departing for D.C. You know what that is?
It's comics.
It's where the government is run.
Do they know they can't get Bradley Beal right now?
Donnie Nelson had planned to be on the flight unless trade potential or important business prevented it. Brad Townsend says that Donnie Nelson Donnie Nelson is not on that flight.
Oh.
Which doesn't necessarily mean that there is something brewing, but maybe, definitely opens the question.
Maybe he saw that Giannis's contract is the most tradable in the NBA.
It is the most tradable. I mean, it's going to cost you a little bit to get Giannis, right?
Come on.
If you say like a king's ransom, like that's I still think that's underselling it. However,
that's the Buddy Hield price.
Just the simple fact that that Donnie Nelson is not on that flight is enough to kind of. I love keeping tracks of flights, Kevin, because
that's always a weird hobby.
That's always very important.
Arrivals and departures are his jam.
By the way, Memphis has the right to trade the least favorable of Dallas's and Miami's second round picks in 2023 for Houston's second round pick in 2023. From the trade that included Jordan Bell.
Catch the fever.
So there you go. We will keep you in touch with everything that's going on. I did have a question, Kevin. We're going to get into this Kobe thing in just a minute, all right? I promise you we will.
We need to get to it.
But not getting Andre Iguodala last night. And
it was disappointing.
Because that provided you a defender and a guy that can provide offense and rebounding. And the Mavericks could, I mean, like it. Hey, they
also
could benefit.
Some more veteran presence.
Playoff
on the team.
Presence.
Yeah.
Championship presence.
Yeah, I was down with all of that. So I was disappointed for sure.
But is this a locker room that needs that voice? Or is this a locker room that's like, hey, you know what? Let's watch these voices grow.
And that's fair. I don't think it needed that voice, but I also think like somebody with that championship pedigree in Iggy, I'm not inclined to turn that down.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you needed it.
So I think there were a lot of people that really kind of, because we haven't seen Iggy play most of this season too.
Sure.
Actually all of this season, because he's been like, I'm not playing with the Grizzlies. Then the Grizzlies came in and whooped the Mavericks last night, offensively just destroyed them. And so I think there were a lot of people that were kind of like, oh man, what could we actually get? I mean, can you imagine having a guy with that caliber on the team? He's aging. He got a 2-year extension. And I don't know if the Mavericks, because it was the second round pick they were offering up. Yeah. I just don't know that the deal that they got a better deal, right?
And as along those lines, somebody in the fan texted in if you could make a run at Kyle Kuzma with the Lakers. Supposedly the Lakers would consider that. Well, one of the things is the Lakers were involved in talks with the Knicks going after Marcus Morris. I don't think you have any assets as appealing as Marcus Morris. And so they like held firm. They said, if you don't include Marcus Morris, there's no way. And so I don't think so.
The thing I love about the Mavericks is they play a lot of things extremely close to the vest.
That's true.
And a lot of these trade discussions and talks, if it's getting leaked, it's not from the Mavericks.
Sure.
Because usually, like, even look at Kristaps' deal last year. How shocked were we all that it was about to happen? And it happened just like that. Look at the deal to move up to get Luka. How shocked were we that that was about to happen? And all of a sudden, bam, it happened just like that. Like the Mavericks, if something gets done in the next hour and a half, it will be a moment where you're just like, bam, awesome. Even the Willie Cauley-Stein thing, we were interested in it,
sure.
But there weren't any sources discussing something like that. It was a lot of speculation. So we'll keep an eye on everything that's going on there. Kevin, there is a very interesting story, though. And I know this is in the Washington Post. Here is the story from KOMO News. The principal of Camas High School is now on paid administrative leave over a controversial post she put on her personal Facebook page about Kobe. The post suggested that the late NBA superstar who died in a helicopter crash with his daughter deserved to die. The principal, Lisa Sikora, wrote in her post, "Not gonna lie, seems to me that karma caught up with a rapist today."
Wow.
She deleted that post after an hour and apologized on Monday.
Fake apology.
Calling the message inappropriate and tasteless.
But not wrong.
Never said it was wrong.
Which is interesting.
Her post was she told the KATU-TV her post was a visceral reaction based on personal experience.
Huh.
And she, actually, they did say in the story, she admits it was wrong.
Okay.
And then, quote, she said, "I'm embarrassed that I made such a poor decision and let down my students. I am hopeful that my regret will garner me some trust moving forward." She's now on paid administrative leave while the district conducts an investigation into, you know, what happened and talks to stakeholders, blah, 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 all that stuff. They got to do an investigation and find out the real story.
She's going to get fired.
And then they said, "I think it's fair to question, right, that we would need to consider," and that's kind of what they're working for, is to see what her future is going to be. It's a challenging situation, but they're going to take it day by day.
My prediction is that she gets fired. So, what I really wanted to talk about here, what I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. Are you okay with the repercussions that come along with the free speech you have? Because free speech does not mean that you're repercussion free.
Can I throw something else in
there?
You
just have to say "with all due respect" first.
Yeah, Shippy's right. I want to add one other thing. The students of her school planned a walkout to protest her actions.
Wow.
And the plans were canceled later that day after she was placed on leave.
And the thing where, like, I mean, there's multiple instances where you can say this went too far, but there were threats made against the principal and threats made against the school. Well, I mean, first of all, that's insane to threaten a school where all those people who had, like, nothing to do with any of this are. And I also think it's mentally unstable to make a threat against a person because they said a thing. And even if you think it's an awful, awful thing, I'm not defending what she said. I think it's weird when people make death threats against other people. And we talked about this before. When our whole cycling thing came up about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, we got multiple death threats, not only for us, but for our kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you people? And so I'm curious, like, what do you think is a proper repercussion when you throw something out there? Because free speech only means you won't be thrown in jail. It does not mean that you won't lose advertisers or your job or whatever. But, like, what do you think is appropriate? Like, if she goes on paid leave or eventually goes on unpaid leave and then comes back, is that appropriate? If she loses her job, is that appropriate? Like, how do you determine what the correct balance is for people who some people determine speak out of turn?
I'm also, Kevin, I think that that not everybody understands a victim's perspective on things.
Because when she said personal, do you think it's possible that she either suffered from sexual assault or rape, and so what she took from it is, why is the culture celebrating somebody who she equates to the same person that did that to her?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and that's the, listen, I don't think that either you or me or Shippy disagrees that this discussion here is going to have it has a lot of sides you can take on it. But I think one of the things is we all want to be able to know when the opportunity is to say something, when not. And we feel very comfortable when we comment about things on social media, because I can just throw it out there and put my phone down and walk off. And you know what? If I never want to see it again, I don't have to look at it. I can delete the app, right? And never have to see it again. But if I say it to somebody's face, now I'm going to have this. But here's the thing about social media and rooms, any room you walk into. Every person in that room's had different experiences with things. And so to try and say that everybody has to have the same thought on what an experience is,
sure,
it's not going to happen. But I will say this. There are times, and my wife's very sensitive to a lot of different things. You just got to know your audience, right? And we have to know our audience when we talk on air, that there are certain things that we say and certain things that we don't. I think you really have to know your audience. And if you're a principal at a school, you have to know that even if you had a personal incident like that happen, your audience isn't going to look at it the same way if you put it out there. So I understand, Kevin, you bringing up the topic of how people should be, you know, what should be justified and what shouldn't. But, man, each audience is going to be different, right? And how you sway that audience to believe you or to be on your side is going to be different as well.
This feedback is fascinating to me. So in case you missed it, there is a principal in Washington who, after Kobe Bryant died, she put a post on her personal Facebook and said she saw it as a, quote, act of karma catching up with a rapist. She deleted it within an hour. Students threatened to walk out. There was death threats made to her and to the school, and she's on paid administrative leave, which I get the sense is probably step one of getting her out of there. So, the 903, I'm okay with firing or suspended. These are inappropriate and stupid. From the 817, this is exactly why people don't want to teach anymore. They get no respect, they're underpaid, and they can't speak their own opinion. And then from the 214,
hold on. Do teachers need to speak their own opinion?
I don't necessarily think need, but then the question becomes, should they be prevented from speaking their own opinion?
But like, what I want from a teacher is I want them to take the curriculum.
Sure.
Apply it appropriately.
Sure.
And provide the opportunity of growth for my kid. I also am not sending my kid, though, to school to learn your life and the way you do things.
And wouldn't the argument be none of this took place in the school?
I agree.
So, like, I'm not saying that what she said was just fine. We're not even getting into that part of the conversation. What I'm saying is the argument would be made, none of that came into the classroom, although the counterargument to that would be everything you do on social media can make its way into the classroom, which is why I'm intrigued.
And once it was out there in the public,
it's in the classroom.
Because her students were threatening to walk out.
Yes. From the 214, and this speaks to the walkout, we should judge this the same way we judge everything else. How big of a stink does society make about it? That's how something is decided, and that's how you judge the punishment. That's an amazing insight, and I agree with that a lot. It is really weird the things that we determine are okay and not okay. You know, like, remember, like, go back to Ray Rice. There was all kinds of rumblings that he had hit his fiance, and people were like, oh, you know, like, it seemed like there was some gray area there for some people. Then the second a video came out, everyone was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. But you didn't take the woman's word for it before, or the police report or anything. But once you saw the video, everyone changed their perspective because society then determined that they would care. Society has now determined about this that they care. That's why I think she's going to lose her job.
Yeah. And, Kevin, somebody did say they're public servants, right? So as a servant to the public gets to decide.
Sure.
In an instant like this. So for me personally, Kevin, I think that I think you really can filter what you put on social media.
Sure.
You don't have to put everything out there. And if you feel a certain way, like, was that a message to a friend? Text it to your friend.
Yeah.
Was that a message to the world? Then you sent that message. Clearly, she felt like she did it, like what she did was wrong.
I don't think she did. I don't believe that.
The reason she deleted it was because she felt like...
I don't believe that.
And Kevin,
the school district told her to delete
it. Kevin, what I'm saying, though, is wrong can mean in any sense of I'm about to lose my job because people are telling me I'm about to lose my job.
And even outside of just the what she said about Kobe, it's really just insensitive to the other eight people that were involved in the crash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did those people, you know, like, what did Gianna have to do with any of that? You know, there's, and I understand people's different beliefs on karma and things like that.
Really good point,
but,
Shippy.
But there's no reason, what do you gain by putting this out into the public, into the world, where it can be tracked to you? You brought up earlier, you know, you can say things on social media or you can say something to somebody's face. Well, if you say it to somebody's face, there's no way that the public in today's world is going to be able to either misconstrue your words or whatever. And so I don't know if it was for the likes or for the just to be the shock jock or, you know, be the one person who pushes against Kobe on social media.
Can I just say, I don't think it was for the shock jock perspective, because she said something where she said, from my own personal opinion.
Okay, I missed that part.
So what I think is, and this is a theory, I don't know this for sure, but when she dropped that in, I would guess that she was either raped or a victim of sexual assault. And
right.
So she thought she was pushing against the system where she does not feel like maybe that person in particular was punished, or Kobe is representative of all of that culture or whatever.
And that's totally fair.
That's my guess.
Right.
I don't know that 100% though.
Yeah, but still, to me, it just rubbed me the wrong way for her to just kind of disrespect everybody else involved who, you know, we don't know their personal lives or whatever, but from a public's perspective, there's no reason that they should have been involved in that.
I do want to do one thing, and Sean Sharif just tweeted out a big story about the ratings here at the station. Station's killing it, man, and it's because the Tolos are amazing.
This isn't going to get him put on an administrative leave, is it?
Maybe, probably.
What?
But I think, like, what we just saw in the fan text and the conversation, we always try to invite people to the table. Come sit down, let's talk about it. And we want to hear other people's experience. We want to hear other people's thoughts and approaches to life, because those experiences help shed light on why we think the way we do. The Tolos today, right here in this very difficult conversation, I thought shared some great stuff, and that's the reason that we love doing this job.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the man that found Pat Mahomes. An amazing story. Plus, have you ever discovered anything near that good? We'll talk about all of that next right here on The Fan. But first, I want to talk to you about, well, discovering what your finances look like. Quite frankly, it's probably not a surprise to you if you're looking at your finances in 2020 and you're like, yes, they look like they did in 19 and 18 and 17, and I still don't like the look of any of those years when it comes to my finances. Are you going to roll into 2021 thinking that exact same thing? Are you going to roll through the rest of this year thinking that exact same thing? Or are you going to make a tough phone call and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS? Corey, I know it's a tough phone call. If you have to call somebody and you're like, look, I have money problems, that's probably not my favorite phone call, but what if it could get you through those problems?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Kevin. The decision that you just posed, that option, that's the one I'm taking. I'm calling Mark Rubin. Listen, one of the things I love about Mark is you can sit down and pretty much talk about anything with
him.
That's true. And that's going to make you feel like you have a friend on your side, somebody that's really going to help you through the process of it all. It is something that weighs on you, and you want to make sure that you have somebody that's sitting in that corner with you saying, this is why this is the best decision. Don't talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. You want to talk to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He's a passionate sports fan just like us, and that's why he takes part in this station at 105.3 The Fan. Call Mark now, 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com. We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors and Kevin Hagland. You can follow us on Twitter at InTheMajors, at OThankKevin, and Shippy Fun Sports. That's the man on the buttons right now making all that goodness happen in your ear holes. Gentlemen, it is we are getting to that point of day where I wanted to talk about Patrick Mahomes again, because he's just so much, he's so special. He's so special.
Why isn't Dak him?
That's the big thing, right? Like, that's the big discussion, is why is nobody like Pat Mahomes? And it happens every year that a guy wins the Super Bowl, right?
Like, I can confirm.
Jerry Jones will say this. He said this for years, it's a copycat league. And everybody does the whole, like, well, I mean, if you did this, isn't that the way you should mold your team like that? Because clearly that's the way to win. Well, the dynasty has been the New England Patriots. And nobody's been able to replicate that over the last, what, 15, 20 years now?
Sure.
So it's almost impossible to say that there's only one way to do it. You just got to find your way of doing it. And I really like that approach because, and I'm going to compare it to Gavin Spittle, our boss, the Hockey Hawk. He's asked us to focus on what we do as a station. And so far, and it's the station has grown so much, Kevin, since you and I started.
Yeah.
We've been very fortunate to, because when we started, I'm going to be very honest. There were people that were laughing at us when we started here. And now there are people that are like, I want to be part of this.
Because this station was, I mean, look, if we're all super being honest, this station was a joke.
Yeah. And
that's the perception some people had, and it sucks, but it's true.
But then our boss came in, he gave us a playbook, said, let's play this way, and we've been going with it, and it's been strong, and we really appreciate it because the Tolos are the strength of everything. It's the foundation of what we do. We really appreciate you. And no matter all the things that we try, and if something fails, y'all let us know. If it's fantastic, you let us know too, and that's part of the thing. But that was the thing about about Dak is they're like, hey, he can't win. Well, why can't he? Pat Mahomes just did it in a way that in 1985, everybody would have said you can't win a Super Bowl with a Pat Mahomes quarterback.
Right.
You know, in Roger Staubach's era, Pat Mahomes never would have done what he did. Because Roger Staubach, did he have 1,000 yards passing? I mean,
I'm sure, yes.
It was ridiculous. They didn't throw the ball that way, and they didn't throw it as often because the thing is, more stuff can go wrong if you do what Pat Mahomes does rather than if you just run the ball and stay safe. Well, Andy Reid figured out how to create the most opportunities, the biggest windows to create space, and use speed to be that thing. But Kevin, on signing day was yesterday.
Yep.
Every recruit is above average on signing day, right?
Sure.
Every coach is super excited about what they're getting. We're going to get to a Missouri coach here in just a little bit that is going nuts about what he
about
got.
About time we did get to him.
But no one ever says, man, this is it. This is about as good as we can get. You know, like nobody ever says anything like that. Trey Haverty, you ever heard of him?
Yeah, he started the hardware store.
No, he is 38. He's an assistant at SMU. And do you know who he found in high school?
Assuming the T's I did, I'm going to say Pat Mahomes is my bold guess.
He found Pat Mahomes in high school. Yes.
That makes sense.
And would you say that Pat Mahomes is the best player from East Texas since Earl Campbell?
Oh, wow. I guess I was going to say I'd have to think about it, but he's pretty damn good.
First round pick, Super Bowl MVP.
Regular MVP, and he's 24.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
Haverty had to go head-to-head with assistants from five other colleges. Think about this for a second. Pat Mahomes, who is the dude right now, who basically lived in Derek Holland's house.
No, not basically. He did live in Derek Holland's house for the entire offseason.
Not just everybody gets to live in Derek Holland's house, by the way.
And he borrowed his Lamborghini.
Yeah, and borrowed his Lambo.
Mm-hmm.
But he...
Derek's a great guy.
The Haverty only... Haverty is, again, the assistant at SMU now.
Never let me borrow the Lamborghini, though.
But he only had to go up against five other colleges, Kevin, to get Pat Mahomes going into college. Two of those other schools just wanted him to play baseball, not football. They were like, they were not even interested in Pat Mahomes playing football. They wanted him to play come play baseball. Pat Mahomes practically begged TCU, Baylor, and LSU to check out his spring of his junior year at White House.
Okay.
Which is 20 minutes, 20 minutes away from Tyler?
I know White House.
And at the time, Mahomes told the East Texas Sports Network,
we all thought he was going to say something.
If I end up at LSU, I'll have a chance at making a good career. That makes sense, right?
Sure.
Like, I could go to LSU. I could be a guy there. Now, he probably would have been held back, right? If he goes to LSU, they're probably ended up, hey, just run the ball, man. Just hand the ball off.
You wonder if they would have come to this idea that the forward pass is a pretty cool concept a little bit sooner, but maybe not.
Somebody said Adrian Peterson's from East Texas. Is Permian East Texas? Didn't he go to Palestine? Palestine.
I would still put Peterson above Pat
Senator
Mahomes.
Palestine?
No, not Senator Palestine.
God, I hate both of you.
All right, so only Texas Tech, Rice, and Houston offered football scholarships to Pat Mahomes. Tech, Rice, and Houston. I think maybe Oklahoma State was in the mix, according to Kevin Sherrington's story. The rest all thought of him as a three-star quarterback. They rated him a three-star quarterback, Kevin.
Sweet.
Good call. He's a three-star guy. He's never going to be anything. But you can understand, right? This is a guy that, what is his arm? And what exactly is he? And I love there are a couple of lines in here because his dad was a pitcher for 11 years, right?
Yep.
So one of the things, and this goes back to, you know who LaTroy Hawkins is?
Of course.
He's a friend of their family and a pitcher, and his godson's best sport is basketball. Okay. All right? He said Patrick was good at everything, the best player in East Texas football, baseball, and basketball. His versatility scared recruiters because they didn't see him specializing in football. He didn't go to camps. He was always too busy playing other sports. So because he wasn't specifically focused on this one thing, they looked at it and they were like, well, I mean, he's not a quarterback. I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence. He's been to every quarterback camp there is.
Right.
Obviously, he is the pedigree of the future at the quarterback position. While Pat Mahomes was like, well, I got a baseball tournament this weekend.
You know what? And that does, like, honestly, that does cost people along the way. I know you've seen it a ton, too. Like, one of the most common transitions I would see was from football to basketball. So I could see that. Like, it makes sense.
Who was Cameron Rupp? We covered Cameron Rupp, and the day that he got drafted, he was playing in three baseball tournaments at one time. Like, he was playing in a tournament. He was leaving to go to another one. He had another one that night, the day I talked to him. And because he specialized in baseball, the draft people were like, oh, we've seen this guy. Because he's out, right? He's out doing stuff.
Yep.
He's in the scouts' eyes all the time. And if you get that opportunity, not everybody, and somebody just said, you don't get to see every football team in high school. You understand that, right, Corey? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But because he wasn't in all the camps and he wasn't in front of scouts all the time, other than when he played at White House, that was it. So, and here's the other thing, too. No one really understood what to do with him. Because he could throw a baseball 90 miles an hour, but he also threw a football like he was turning a double play, you know, kind of whipping it sidearm. So they were like, oh, man, this guy right here, I don't know what he's going to be. And so the Tigers, they loved him too, Kevin. They drafted him in the 37th round in 2014.
Oh!
The 37th round of the baseball draft. Haverty.
God, how much do you wish San Francisco? How much does San Francisco wish right now that he would have just signed that contract instead?
Haverty, Kevin, was a scout at TCU, and he had checked out Pat Mahomes. And he tried talking Gary Patterson into picking up this kid. But I think what happened was he'd lost the commitment of Argyle's quarterback, Austin Ahn, in 2012 because the Yankees took him. And so they paid him a lot of money. Well, the Tigers were interested in Pat Mahomes. So he was like, I don't want to deal with a guy that's got something like that. So he was just like, nah, never mind. So Gary Patterson could have had Pat Mahomes, but he didn't want to deal with the idea that he might go off to play baseball instead of loving football.
Wow.
Is that a regret, do you think, that Gary Patterson might have?
I mean, you would imagine, yes.
So then Haverty goes to Texas Tech and becomes an assistant for Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury fell in love. He was like, look, this is the next Johnny Manziel. This is Johnny Manziel all over again because he can do so many things. Kingsbury liked him so much that when Baker Mayfield, Davis Webb, and Mike Brewer all left, he was perfectly fine with it. Because he was like, that's three good quarterbacks right there.
Sure.
He was perfectly fine with it because this was the right guy the entire time. So one of the things I just wanted to point out here is you never know when you're a scout, when you're going to hit on somebody, right?
Yeah.
Like, you never know exactly what it's going to be, but you got to be able to identify those certain qualities about a guy that's going to change. And with Pat Mahomes, there's a guy over at SMU right now who says, man, This was the guy. We knew it all along, and there are a lot of people regretting they didn't make that decision.
Quick note for you on the NBA trade front. Apparently, both the Clippers and Lakers are really making that push with the Knicks to try to pick up Marcus Morris. So keep an eye out, because that could be the piece that kind of changes the balance, not changes the balance, but like tilts the balance in the Western Conference. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, only about an hour before the NBA trade deadline is up. But coming up next, I can't believe Colorado is doing this. Hold on, is this about weed?
No, this isn't about weed.
Plus,
I can believe they do that.
Shippy's coach forever.
Yes.
Talk about that next on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.